morning to you all. We welcome you to Grace Bible Church today. A little nippy today, and so we didn't crank the heaters down too much so you'd fall asleep. So we kind of them in the mid-range so that maybe you can stay awake but also still be relatively warm. But we're glad that you're here today. We thank the Lord for your presence. And in our call to worship today, I wanted to take you to the book of Philemon, where we've been spending time, and we've been looking at the life of the Apostle Paul toward the end of his life. It's going to be just a few months to a year or two before he gives his life for his testimony for Jesus Christ. And we saw that he honors Philemon. We're going to see that this morning, where he talks about what a blessing that Philemon has been. And specifically, he uses this phrase, which thou, verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Verse 7 goes on to compliment him, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints, the inward parts of the saints, are refreshed by thee, brethren. Now, one of the things that Paul mentions in this letter, in verse 6 specifically, is the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I'm overwhelmed by that thought. That Paul is calling upon Philemon to acknowledge, to come to the knowledge of, that's what acknowledge means, to come to the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Is that even possible? Is Paul asking him to do something that's totally impossible? I don't think so. I think that we need to grasp and understand that he wanted Philemon to think outside the box of the Roman culture, which did what? It condoned slavery. And here he is, he's going to have a slave that he purchased come back home. And he says, I want you to acknowledge what you have, the good things that you have in Christ Jesus. Who are we slaves to? Before we were saved, we were slaves to sin, the Bible says. We were in bondage to sin. Now think of this picture. The Lord Jesus Christ, through His resurrection power, is able to break the bonds, of sin, and declare us to be sons, moving from slaves to sin to sons of God. This is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Do I hear an amen? Absolutely. Is this an aspect of the good things that He's done for us? Absolutely. And so it's easy to slip into this mode where I'm going to go back to what way things were before. Whenever Onesimus comes, he's going to be my slave again, and things will just pick up. I'll forgive him for what he did. No. Not simply a forgiveness of what he had done by running away, but a recognition of what Christ has done in Philemon's life, and that how that affects another believer that's just come to faith in Jesus Christ, a new believer, that this whole thing impacts him. I need to let Christ's work in my life live in my decisions and in my choices. Could he keep a servant and a slave? Yes, under Roman law. Should he keep him? Paul makes the case, no. He's a brother in Christ. Do the right thing. This is encouraging to me. When we learn to acknowledge what the good things that Jesus Christ has done for us, it changes how we think. It changes how we act. It changes the choices that we make, because now what Christ has done for me affects how I make choices that affect others. This is how the Word of God lives within. It's what it means to be in Christ. So I want to encourage you this morning as we continue our study, that we, and also as we take part of communion today, to rejoice and remember the one in whom we are in. Not just about Jesus, but the one who has taken us in. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? There is communion found there. May the Lord work in our hearts today.
Let's begin with 575 in our hymn books, number 575. You want to sing Be Strong in the Lord, number 575. Let's stand and sing verses 1 and 2, 575.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just the great week you've given us, Lord. Just please bless the service today, Lord. Be with Pastor as he gives the message, Lord. And please help us to get something out of it, Lord. And I just pray for the Lord's Supper after the service, Lord, that we just keep our minds stayed on you and remember what you did on the cross of Calvary, Lord. And we're just so thankful for that, Lord. And we just... help us to always just be reminded of that, not just today, but just always, Lord, to remember the sacrifice you did for us, Lord, and help us to never take that for granted, Lord, and help us to spread that good news to everyone else and everyone we come into contact with, Lord, and I just pray that we would just be doers of the word, not hearers only, Lord. Help us to not just hear the preaching and not do anything about it, Lord. Help us to just be a witness and a light in our community, Lord, throughout the week, Lord. Just help us be a witness, God, for you. And I pray that you just be in this remainder of the service and the song of service and the preaching to follow. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And be seated. And so all the way to the beginning of our hymn book, to hymn number 1. Should be pretty easy to find. Number 1. Let's sing Come Thou Almighty King, hymn number 1.
Come and reign above the rusting chains.
545, 545. And let's sing Each Step I Take, 545. We'll sing verses 1 and 3, verses 1 and 3, 545.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon, we're continuing a series that we began, seeking to know the Word of God, seeking to see specifically in this new year what a grace-impacted spirit looks like. And we take the theme from the last verse of Philemon, which I put as the theme verse of this particular letter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And throughout the entire short letter that Paul writes to Philemon, his friend, this thread of seeking him to have a restored relationship with his slave, Onesimus, but also understanding the new relationship that would exist because Onesimus had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we have been looking through the definition of grace. As we said at the very beginning, I'm not allowed to define grace on my own terms. I follow what God has said about His grace. His grace not only is the unmerited favor that God has given to me, but grace also changes us. And that really is the theme of Philemon. This change of relationship, this change of understanding, now that Onesimus is a believer in Christ, there must be a change. And grace must impact Philemon's spirit. We looked at the word spirit last time, pneumatos, the word that we find here. Spirit is the understanding of the third part of our being, the highest part of our being. That part of our being that can connect with God. The ability to be able to connect in prayer. Paul said to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said to them, listen, pray with the Spirit. Pray with the understanding also. He also said, sing with the Spirit. Sing with the understanding also. Now, that idea of being able to sing with the Spirit and to be able to pray with the Spirit is the work of the Spirit that God has given to us, which makes us like unto Him. We have a likeness to God, and that is a spirit likeness. It's spiritual. And so we looked at last time the desire that this Paul had for his friend to grasp a hold of what he needed to do. He needed to do the right thing, and something needed to impact his spirit in order to do it. I think all of us understand and know that we were trained in various different ways. We grew up differently. How Fran grew up was different from how I grew up. How Asa has grown up is different from Mr. Opager and the way he has grown up. And there has to be that understanding, Christian, to assume that everybody knows what they're supposed to do is a wrong assumption. People have to be taught. Amen? People have to be taught. Did Philemon need to be taught about a proper response to how he would take his servant back? Yes. And how Paul taught him is a lesson in itself. How he taught him. We're going to see some things that are brought out today that I think need to impact us. Need to impact us in our dealings with other believers in Christ. So, we looked at last time regarding the fact that a grace-impacted spirit is able to understand and be able to grasp a hold of seeing life-changing events that come our way in their proper context. What life-changing event had happened in Paul's life when he's writing this letter? What had happened to him? Where is he? He's in prison. Easy to get bitter in prison. There's a lot of bitter people in prison. Thankfully, there are prison ministries that seek to take the gospel into those areas. Vanessa was sharing about one of her uncles that had gone to visit the presumed killer of their aunt in prison to take him the gospel because he was concerned about him. Is that a hard thing to do? Yes. Very difficult thing. To go into any prison and to sit down with a prisoner and to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ when you know that they're not going home tonight. You are, maybe, but they're not going home. Now, how does that impact us? Paul, being in a place that he could not go home from for a sin that he didn't commit. They had charged him with seditious acts, we're told in the book of Acts. What had he done? He preached the gospel. That's it. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they made up the charge, seditious acts. That sounds bad. And then I'm sure that the gossip spread, just like it spreads on social media, and people get on their phones and they get on email and they start spreading something that they think somebody said this or wrote this, and they don't know for sure, but they're putting it out there as gospel fact. By the way, Christian, please do your homework before you spread something and hit the like button or hit the share button. Oh, well, people need to know about this. You know, well, maybe it's not true. Have you thought about that? Oh, no. It's my friend Bubba. And Bubba always tells the truth. How many of you know Bubba? Yeah, right. But you mentioned Bubba on his Facebook page, but nobody else knows Bubba. And we're presenting what he says as the gospel truth. How many have been burned by sharing something that wasn't true? Do you know there are millions and millions and millions of shares of things that were not true? But because in our quickness, we trusted the messenger and we hit the share button or we hit the like button, what we should be doing is checking out what's being said. And then, if it's correct, then if we know it's true, then we're sharing truth. Here, we find that Paul calls himself not a prisoner of Rome, but a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, he's not blaming Christ for his position. I'm a prisoner of Jesus. Jesus threw me in jail. No, that's not the attitude at all. He sees this as a wonderful thing. I get to be a prisoner for my Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, but Paul, look at your circumstances. They lied about you. They lied about you, yes, but God put him there in Rome so he could share the gospel with the leader of the Roman world. And he put him there too so he could minister to a slave runaway who comes all the way from Colossae, all the way to Rome, and runs into, of all people, Paul, that he had probably served dinner to on more than one occasion. Are you kidding me? Oh, this is just a big accident, right? Oh, no. God put Paul there to minister to Onesimus so he could also minister to Philemon, so he could put Onesimus and Philemon back together in the same place with a good attitude and a good spirit moving forward. Have you ever looked at your life as a connection? A connection to somebody else? You know, I think sometimes we so isolate ourselves in our thinking, and we conjure up things about people that we refuse to talk to them. We talked about this last week. We isolate ourselves from people that we don't like. We isolate ourselves from people that are different from us. But you know what? The gospel says, the Bible says in the New Testament, that we are to go and to preach. Are we only to go to nice people? Did the Bible say that? No. Carry the gospel into all the world, we're told. Well, that includes a lot of bad people, doesn't it? Wake up call time. Wake up call. Paul said, I am willing to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ that I might reach some. He uses that illustration with the Corinthians. I have become all things to all men that I might save some. Not all, but to save some. That needs to be our attitude. And you know what impacts us to do that? We have to have a grace-impacted spirit. To reach out to somebody that we may not care for, but they need the gospel, and so I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to share it with them. Because my Lord Jesus Christ shared with a tax collector one time. I would imagine if on the IRS, on your list of favorite government agencies, IRS is right up there at the top, right? Nope. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ ministered to two murderers while he was on the cross. How many of you are thankful for that? One of them, this is so beautiful, one of them went with him to paradise. My Savior cared enough to minister to that man's soul on the cross. Oh, all the excuses we have, right? I'm just too busy. Oh, I've just got too many things to do today. I can't take the time to go minister to that individual. Our Savior was on the cross of Calvary. No place he could go, but he could minister to the souls. One of them was bitter and angry, wanted nothing to do with Jesus. The other one kind of looks over to the other guy and says, "Do you not know who this is? Lord, remember me." And then the words came back, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Grace impacted what? Spirit. He could do nothing with his body. He was nailed to a tree. His soul was within him. But his spirit yearned to reach out beyond the confines of the nails to the person right next to him. This is a lesson, folks. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Look past your circumstances that you're in and realize I'm here for a reason. God's put me here. And what should you do? Well, the old expression in the South is that when you got lemons, you make lemonade. That's the worst thing that a trumpet player can think about when he's playing a horn. I was kidding with Dr. Watt. I said, "Well, before I go there, I'm trying to put out of my mind syrup and pancakes." You know what that does to the mouth of a trumpet player? And I'll tell you something else. Lemons. Just watching someone eat a lemon. There's a couple of guys at Bob Jones that did that one time with one of their friends that was at a, he was playing his trombone, and they showed up with a half a lemon each, and they were sitting out there eating it. And his mouth started drying up. It was not a good thing to do. They got in trouble for that. But lemons, what do you do with them? Well, they're tangy, and they can be bitter. Well, you know what? Squeeze out that lemon juice into some water and add some sugar, and you got a wonderful drink. Number two, we looked at last time. A grace-impacted spirit seeks the spiritual well-being of other believers. What did he wish for Philemon in verse 3? What did he wish? Grace, charis, and peace, arene. That's what he wanted. Why is it that we've got our favorite people to hate? And that may be a fellow believer in Christ. I was reading just this past week of a situation that had happened some years ago in a local church between two relatives. And they sat on the opposite side of the church and they refused to speak to each other. And one day, one of the individuals coming into church tripped and fell on the floor. And it was right near where the relative was located. And the relative leaned forward in their pew and just lost it. And so the guy picked himself up and he went over to his seat. After the service, the guy came back and he said, "Listen, he said, I know we've had this riff going on for a long time, and I know you laughed at me, and it was funny. I fell down in the middle of the pew going down the thing, and you laughed. Something happened to me that I want to tell you about. I got saved. And I just want you to know I no longer hate you anymore. I love you in Jesus Christ." That's all he said. Went back. Person sat there in the chair with their head down. The entire service. The preacher had witnessed all this that took place. For the first time, he had seen them talk to each other, and he wanted to find out what had happened. So he went over to the guy, and he said, I just went over and told my relative I love him. I got saved recently. You know the story. And the pastor said, "Yeah, I know you got saved. I just wanted to know. I don't hate him anymore." So the pastor went over to the other person after the church service, and said, "You know what just happened to you? You know what just happened to you? You had a visit from Jesus Christ. Yeah, when your relative fell down on the floor and he got up and he whispered to you that he had gotten saved, you know what he was doing? He was sharing with you Jesus Christ. You had a visit from Jesus Christ. And within a week, that individual came to faith in Jesus Christ and they started sitting together at church. Now you say, oh, that's a fantastic story. Isn't that wonderful? That never happens to me. Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't? Is there a reason for that? What did Paul wish for Philemon? He didn't look for it as an opportunity. All right, boy, I'm going to lower the boom on Philemon. Maybe Onesimus had shared some things about his treatment back in Colossae. I don't know. Don't you think they talked about that? He didn't just pen a letter and hand it to Onesimus and say, give us the Philemon. They had talked. They had gotten into all that kind of stuff. And you know what? He wanted Philemon to respond with the right attitude. He desired for Philemon, in spite of the knowledge that Paul had about Philemon, whatever that was. Are you following me? Whatever that was, whatever knowledge he had gained from Onesimus, he wanted grace and peace to come into his life. You know, in the New Testament, Irene in the Greek primarily denotes a state of tranquility, harmony, and well-being. Do you wish that for other believers in Christ? That they have tranquility? Have you ever wished something bad on another believer because of something that you thought that they said? Somebody called me up on the phone and told me what they said. Well, that's true. It actually happened. So we jump on that and we wish evil upon them. Why? What's wrong with that attitude? Have we put that up against the Word of God? Oh, that's wrong. Harmony and well-being. It is used to describe both the absence of conflict and the presence of positive blessings such as safety, grace, and spiritual peace. The term is often associated with the peace that comes from a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ as well. Now get this. As well as the peace that believers are called to maintain with one another. Just saying, as they say in the South, just saying, we need to let the Word of God impact us. Let the grace of God impact our spirit. But not only do we seek grace and peace, what else are we supposed to do? I want you to notice this in verses 4 through 6 as he writes, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my, what? Prayers. And what did he mention in his prayers? He tells us right here what he's praying for. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the saints, toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and toward all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, my brother. Now what did he pray for? Well, he had heard some things about Philemon, good things. And he thanked the Lord for that. Have you thanked the Lord for a fellow believer lately? Lord, I just want to come into your presence and I want to thank the Lord for so-and-so. What a blessing they were at church today. Whenever we start mentioning to God in our prayers thankfulness for other believers in Christ, we find it more difficult to think of the bad things that we want to mention to Jesus Christ about other believers. Are you following me here on this track? Here's where we get into where the rub meets. We start piling up in our minds lists of things that we don't like about certain people. There's just certain people I don't associate with. They don't dress like I do. Or they don't look like I do. Or they don't talk like I do. Or they support things that I don't support. And And so forth. I'm not talking about supporting things that are wrong, evil type stuff. I'm talking about supporting somebody else, perhaps, that you don't like and they like them. So I've got a problem with you. How many of you understand and know that this is where most people live? This is where most people live. They've got their active list of people that they don't associate with because of this, and down the list it goes. How about praying for them? Here's Philemon. He's been an encourager of the saints. Onesimus, no doubt, had shared that with Paul. Maybe Paul knew him so well and had experienced that he knew it firsthand knowledge. I don't know. But I do know this, that the saints were refreshed by Philemon. Powerful word there, refreshed. Have you ever refreshed someone? To be such an encouragement to that, that is so refreshing. Thank you so much. That was Philemon. And Paul was thankful for him and prayed for him to continue to learn, acknowledge, come to the knowledge of all the good things that are found in Jesus Christ. You know, we're forgetful. We're forgetful. I got a note up here on the pulpit. You know what it says? Stop at 11:50. Before you applaud. All right, we're having communion today in 5 minutes. I had to write a note to myself. Okay? Why did I write a note to myself, Dr. Watt? I get wound up. Yeah, you get wound up and boy, the Spirit's moving. And you may be sleeping, but the Spirit's moving. Yeah, we're having communion today. I didn't want to forget that. So in my old, feeble 61-year-old brain, I make a note because I'm forgetful. And you know what, Christian? You get forgetful about this book and what it teaches. Some people like certain sections of the Bible and that's all they read. You got a problem. Oh, there's so much more. Don't pick and choose. It's not a salad bar. There's so many good things in the Word of God. And we need to be searching. We have to remind ourselves of the necessity of feeding on the Word, drinking the living water of the Word. And don't we want to pray for each other? Don't we want to pray for each other? Making mention of them in our prayers because they've been an encouragement to us. They've been a help to us. And so I want to be a help to them. How can I help them? I can pray for them. You may be in the confines of a nursing home, but you can still pray. You can take people before the Lord. Dr. Hobbs talked about the elderly lady up in Chester, South Carolina. I remember it over and over again. He talked about what an encouragement she was when he was in college at Bob Jones. They went and ministered at the nursing home, and they would go to her room. She was a complete invalid. Couldn't walk. Had to be put in a wheelchair, carried around. But she had prayer lists of all the boys that were preacher boys at Bob Jones. Of course, she had a list of all kinds of other people. But these boys were special to her because they came and they preached at her nursing home. And what an encouragement it was to have her praying for her. And they would carry prayer requests with them and give them to her and say, would you remember this week? We got exams coming up, or we have this special need we need to remember, or there's an evangelistic meeting taking place tonight, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is preaching, or one of the other preachers was preaching, and they would bring those requests and give them to her because they know she went to the throne of grace for them. Is that not in itself an encouragement? That somebody cares enough to remember your name before the throne of grace? So, a grace-impacted spirit prays for the spiritual well-being of other believers. Note the various things that Paul mentions. It is imperative that we acknowledge, be knowing, have knowledge of every good thing which is in us, put there by the Holy Spirit, by the way, in Christ Jesus. Communication of the faith becomes effective by this acknowledging. I'm more willing to communicate if I acknowledge what good things I have in Jesus Christ. I'm more willing to share that with somebody else when I'm having my heart refreshed by what Jesus Christ has done for me. There is that constant back and forth in the Word, in Christ Jesus, learning those wonderful things that I have in Christ, and I want to share that with others. That is so, so important. We're going to stop here today. Next time, we're going to get into, Lord willing, about a grace-impacted spirit knows how to exercise authority in a proper way depending upon the situation. There's not a one-size-fits-all response from authority. And this is a wake-up call. I'm going to show you some other verses of Scripture that show us the different things that arise that may cause us to have to act in a strong way, but not everything has to be done in a strong way. And we're going to look at that, Lord willing. A grace-impacted spirit will know and understand that. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your Word. What a blessing it is. What an encouragement it is. And I pray, dear Father, as we participate in this communion service, it is supposed to be a time of remembering You. And so I pray that we might, in our hearts and in our minds, remember You, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Comforter, the One who's coming for us again. Lord, we're to remember these things because they are a part and parcel of who You are as our Savior. Lord, bless this time, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to ask the three men that were asked to help this morning to go ahead and come on forward and begin to distribute the elements. As they do that, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and I want you to follow along as we read a few things from God's Word here on Hebrews chapter 9. I was thinking about the remembrance and what kind of things we should be remembering about our Lord. And I want us to read from Hebrews chapter 9. Again, this is the blood and the body of the Lord. There at verse number 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Then I want to read there in Hebrews 9 and read several verses, and I want us to meditate upon the body and the blood of our Lord. Verse number 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that He should offer Himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Many of those verses talk about the blood of our Lord. But let's go to chapter 10, continue to read verse number 4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body, a unique body hast thou prepared for Me. Let's skip over to verse number 11. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Sacrifice for sins forever sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool, for by one offering He hath perfected, He has made complete forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I want us to think in our hearts as we spend some time in quiet prayer in just a few minutes of what should we remember? We should remember the reality of our Lord, that He literally came as a person and He lived on this earth. He lived perfectly. He did what we couldn't do. And He went literally to a cross and died for our sins, the blood and the body. Remember the reality of the new and living way that we just read about, That it's not through keeping the law, keeping those covenants, but it's the new way of the Lord Jesus Christ through the heart, a new law that is written in our hearts. Let's remember the reality that we just read in verse 17 and 18, that our sins are remitted, our sins are forgiven, that our Lord remembers them no more. And then one unique thing, if you remember back to the Lord when He actually gave the bread and the cup to His disciples, He told them, I am not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until when? My future kingdom. So one thing, and I noticed it in our bulletin as well, is that we can look forward to remembering the Lord, as Paul said, until He comes. Until the Lord comes. We read that in Hebrews chapter 9 as well, that those that look for Him, He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let's remember what our Lord has done for us, His body and His blood. Let's bow our heads in just a few minutes of silent prayer right where you are to meditate upon what the Lord has done in your heart, His body, His blood. Let's spend a few minutes just meditating and remembering our Lord as the piano plays for a few minutes. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Father, we thank You that we can gather as the body of Christ in remembrance of our Savior, to remember the body, the blood that was broken, that was wounded, that bled. Lord, the evidence of the going away of life, the evidence of death, something had to die for our sins. And Father, we're just overwhelmed that You put what we deserve upon Your own Son. Father, I pray that this morning, as we remember back to that sacrifice of Christ, and as we see the ongoing, continual privileges we have as believers, to understand that our sins are forgiven, they're remitted, and that there's a new and living way through Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that that would resonate in our hearts and in our minds of gratitude to understand this grace for us. And Lord, as we look forward to the second coming of our Savior, that You will appear, that there will be a future kingdom, that You will reign, You will rule, You will conclude all things. And Father, what a glorious time that will be. Father, I pray that we would look forward and have that spirit of looking for the second coming. Father, thank You again so much for Christ and all that He has done. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Paul says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Father, again, thank You so much for our Savior Jesus Christ, what His sacrifice and death means for us, a lost human race without hope, a lost human race deserving only of eternal separation from a holy and righteous God. And yet we thank You that You came and took what we deserve, and You put Yourself where we deserve to be, which is in a place of death. But Lord, what a wondrous thought of a perfect and sinless Savior to then resurrect from the dead, to be at the right hand of the Father, to be looking and waiting for the Father to send the Son back. And Lord, we long for that day. I pray that our hearts will be filled with the peace and encouragement of knowing our Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to guide and direct our lives, Lord, and help us to continue to have the thoughts and the remembrance of all that our Savior has done to redeem us, a lost humanity. We thank you again for Christ. We ask you to bless each that is here this morning. Thank you for this special time. I pray we would go this week in the strength and power of your Spirit, Lord, to continue to seek your face in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.